We feel good about the results we posted yesterday afternoon. Despite softer than anticipated sales and order pacing early in the period, our overall operating performance on an adjusted basis came in at or above the levels we committed to in March. We're also encouraged by the continued progress being made across the organization to advance the momentum of our long-term strategic agenda. I'm sure you noted our reported results included pre-tax restructuring impairment expenses totaling $21 million. These charges relate to the impairment of intangible asset values associated with our Nemshoff and Posh trade names. The accounting for intangible assets that result from business combinations is complex. When you add a contingent consideration element, such as an earnout provision, it gets even more difficult to follow. So I think it's important we give this topic a bit of time today. Let me start by assuring you we continue to believe both businesses and brands are important parts of our long-term offer. This past year, Nemshoff was again recognized as the number one healthcare furnishings brand in the United States. Posh continues to be a leading brand in China and is helping us to build a growing presence in India and other markets in Asia. Both businesses posted growth and profitability this past year. However, the current and forecasted results are not at the level we forecasted at the time of the acquisitions, and we have work to do to realize our ultimate goals. As a result, this partial write-down of asset carrying values was required under GAAP accounting rules. The current quarter charges were offset by a $2.6 million gain from the reduction of a contingent consideration liability recorded at the time of the Posh acquisition. In essence, the original purchase accounting assumed we would have an additional payment based on achieving a sales target in the years after the acquisition. This contingent liability gave rise, in part, to the trade name asset impaired this past quarter. In the case of Nemshoff, contingent consideration came in two forms, a cash earnout provision based on targeted sales growth, and a contingent value right, or CVR liability, which changed in value based on the movement in the price of our common stock. In fiscal years 2010, 2000, and 2011, the contingent liabilities related to Nemshoff are reduced, and we recognize gains totaling $24 million based on the underlying performance metrics. In short, while the accounting impairments are disappointing, they've been largely offset by cumulative life-to-date reductions in the amounts owed under the contingent consideration liabilities. In a perfect world, the liabilities and assets would have been reduced at the same time, but GAAP rules require us to evaluate the two separately, and this will often result in timing differences. With that detail covered, let me go up a level and talk about the market and what we've done to move our agenda forward. Overall, the domestic and international business environment, though still mixed by region, is generally pointing in a positive direction. At a macro level, recent Fed commentary supported by positive employment numbers and ISM reports suggest a moderate GDP rebound from the disappointing prior quarter. Our industry's key indicators, including corporate profits and the ABI, are also pointing up. Those factors, along with improving non-residential construction backdrop, are helping fuel the optimism I'm sure you've seen of BIFMA's latest forecast for 2015. Internationally, the picture also appears to be improving with more encouraging signals from the UK and Europe and greater stability in parts of Asia. There are obviously wild cards out there, especially the unfolding geopolitical events in the Ukraine and most recently the Middle East. But overall, we appear to be in a period of improving industry dynamics. To be frank, it has been frustrating to see expected growth repeatedly push into later quarters as the domestic and global economy has been trying to find traction. Having said that, we continue to see signs of momentum is building in our business. This past quarter serves as a good example. Despite a sluggish start for order entry in the early weeks of the quarter, our order pacing accelerated late in the period, driving us to a strong finish and a backlog of almost 12% compared to a year ago. We have also noted that a greater percentage of our new orders are dating out beyond the normal delivery method. With this as a context, I'll turn to some of our segment highlights. On an organic basis, our North American reporting segment recorded flat sales for the quarter, while orders were up 7%. We were encouraged again this quarter to see further signs of stability in the U.S. federal government sector, where sales and orders were up over last year, driven by strong demand from government healthcare agencies. Our Living Office Initiative continues to build momentum. During the quarter, we began taking orders on two of our major new product platforms, with a third scheduled for formal market launch in early calendar 2015. At Neocon, we displayed all three to great effect, integrated with our broader product offering. Using our own Chicago staff and showroom as a case study, we were able to demonstrate a living office landscape uniquely designed for the people, work, character, and culture in that space. This also enabled us to share more of Herman Miller's new research-based tools for assessing client needs and supporting designers in space planning. We believe living office is well-timed, with clients and the designers seeking to understand and adopt a new landscape of work. And our Neocon showroom was a powerful proof concept for both our unique insights and new product design. In fact, for the second consecutive year, we received the International Interior Design Association Award for the best large showroom at Neocon, another significant validation of our living office design concepts. Another key development in our work business this past year is the progress we've made in rolling out new insight-led sales training and CRM tools for our field and dealer network. That work has energized our sales force and dealer partners, with a living office providing a great catalyst for their enthusiastic participation. We've held a number of readiness rallies across North America and are now taking those programs events to other international regions. The Herman Miller sales team and dealer network have always been among the very best in our industry, but we're really excited to see the impact that these new skills and tools are having. Our specialty consumer segment closed the year with another great quarter, with organic sales and orders up 8 and 7% respectively versus the prior year. We were particularly encouraged to see that this growth was broad-based across the segment. The integration of Maharam, widely recognized as the industry's top textile brand, has gone very well. That team continues to make a positive contribution to overall financial performance, and their product and operational capabilities are a great complement to the other elements of our business. The Herman Miller collection also continues to grow in both product offer and brand value, demonstrated by the fantastic market reaction to our presentation at the New York Design Week in May. Dozens of new SKUs have been added to the collection from this past year in both new and archival design, growing both our consumer business and the range of solutions we offer for commercial and hospitality spaces. This year has shown we are successfully reaching an expanded marketplace that offers new growth and richer margins. In short, we've made great progress expanding our specialty consumer portfolio and capabilities, all of which builds on our conviction that our rich brand legacy gives us a unique advantage to improve our reach into the consumer market. Turning to our ELA reporting segment, that business delivered a good quarter with organic sales of more than 9%. This was led by strong performance in Europe, particularly the UK. Additionally, despite the recent news headlines highlighting strains on economies in Asia, we benefited this quarter from strengthening sales in that region, including our business in China. Organic orders for ELA were essentially flat, but we are generally encouraged by the improving fundamentals in Europe and parts of Asia, and the opportunities we are seeing in Mexico and greater Latin America. We're also expanding our global capabilities to capture more of these international market opportunities. In the near term, we are scheduled to begin the construction of a new manufacturing and fulfillment center in the UK that will serve the EMEA region. We're also very excited about our lease manufacturing distribution facility scheduled to be operational in Bangalore, India later this year. In short, Herman Miller's international business continues to expand profitably, and we see much more potential as we grow our brand and operational capability in these markets. Looking at the total body of work over this past year, we're pleased with how far we've come, but we all recognize there is still much more work to be done to achieve the long-term objectives of our strategy. Most of you are well aware that we have for some time referred to this as the shift strategy, and recognition that the key social and economic changes around the world offer us exciting new opportunities for profitable growth, but also require a shift in our focus and capabilities in some fundamental areas. These fundamental shifts have informed each of the areas of progress I've described for you this morning, and we're confident they will continue to lead us toward the objectives we've established for the business. In June of 2012, we outlined for you a set of three-year goals for sales and operating income growth. We're now 2 years into that period, and we've committed to refreshing these goals, reflecting the changes we've made in the business and our strategic growth plans going forward.